Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, this is Glenn the Geek here from, once again, snowy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm actually chilly this morning because I don't think my heat's working. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 7th, 2010, episode 50, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Jamie, extra excited. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm going to Florida today where it's warm, going to be 75 degrees, going to West Palm Beach down there near Wellington. How cool, how warm is that?
That I'm jealous. It is so beautiful down there. It's phenomenal. And, you know, what I like to do, I've been to Wellington once, and what I like enjoyed doing was spending my time watching the Argentinian polo players practice. So drive down to those polo fields in Wellington, and if you park your car there and you're just a woman sitting there, they will talk to you. They can't speak your language, but they will come up and talk to you, and you will look at them, and they will look back at you. And it's a language of love, Glenn. You don't need to talk.
Well, I'll be sure to check out the Argentinian polo players, okay? Actually, I have more had in mind the beach. I had in mind bikinis than Argentinian polo players. But so I packed my bathing suit. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. See, the helmet symposium is all day Saturday. I couldn't get a flight home till Monday afternoon. So I have to be stuck there all day on Sunday. And Jennifer knows, you know, I explained to her that this is difficult for me. I'd rather be coming back. You know, I can't come back till Monday afternoon. She knows how difficult this is for me.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. And you know what she's going to be doing while you are displaying your ever so pasty white body on the beach? She's gonna have the best horsey weekend ever. Horses, 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 all day at the barn, not having to worry about Glenn the Geek going, what time are you coming home? What are you gonna do this weekend? Weren't you spending time with me? No, you're gonna embarrass yourself on the beach and Jennifer is gonna be out at the barn. Am I right, Jen?
That's right.
We're not jealous.
I'm gonna wear my muddy boots into the house.
I will be glad to be embarrassing myself while looking at the bikini-clad women on the beach. I will be more than happy to embarrass myself doing that. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I'm going to wear my muddy boots into the house, and I'm going to wash saddle pads in the washing machine.
Awesome. That's what I do when Chad's out of town. Totally. Hey, Glenn, are you taking your are you going to take your metal detector to the beach, or are you just going to rent one when you get down there?
I did own a metal detector for many years, by the way.
He's a geek. Come on, guys.
You're going to be guy with the tall black socks and sandals walking down the beach with your metal detector.
And I'm going to find gold, and I'm not going to share any with you either.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to find a whole lot of fun stuff. Here's a penny. Wow. Okay. Enough picking
on you. Hey, we just
you.
Watched a show. You laugh. We just watched a show, didn't we, Jennifer, 2 weeks ago, about this guy in England who is a metal detector guy, kind of geeky, dorky like that, like just like you described, actually. And he goes out in the fields of England where you can find some cool stuff because there's a lot of old stuff there. And he actually found, what was it, one of the largest treasures from the Roman Empire ever of gold.
They called it a Norman hoard.
You know what? I'm so bad. I totally watched that same show Chad and I did.
Did you?
We were fascinated by it. Oh, my gosh. And then the guy's like, yeah, whatever. The landowner, he's like, whatever I get out of this, we'll split. But it's like the stuff is priceless. I mean, it's crazy. I watched that entire show.
They did end up with millions out of it, though, didn't they? And he found it with his freaking metal detector.
Like, yeah.
They handled it well. That was a good show.
Yeah, the guy's driving down the road. He's like, I've always wanted to scan that field. Like, really? That's what you think of? I think of a big, beautiful pasture when I see a big field. He's like, I want to
scan
it. You
want to ride over it. You don't want to dig into it unless you're falling off, which leads us into today's show.
What's coming up, Jen?
Oh, that's me. On today's show... We have our first Rehome Highlight. This is a monthly feature we're going to be doing. Lots of new things this year. Dr. Heather Craven will be here sharing her adventure with her recently adopted off-the-track thoroughbred. And she's also going to talk a little bit about the Kentucky Equine Humane Center, where she found him. And it's Friday, so Lisa will be here with her weekly Chronicle report. And that's going to be where we talk about the recently published results of the USEA's Why Did You Fall Off survey. And I was reading through that yesterday, and boy, there's some really interesting answers on there. Some that you would expect and some that you go, really? So we've got all that going. And, of course, we're going to have the usual hijinks, hearsay, and hilarity that you've come to expect from Horses in the Morning.
Hey, I just noticed that Katie posted on Facebook, I could get good use out of a metal detector. See, she likes me. But I just want to find, this is the caveat. I could get good use out of a metal detector, but I just want to find lost horseshoes, not ancient treasures.
I love it. That's great.
See, that's
I mean,
a horsewoman right there.
Oh, and they lose it in the mud, and then it's so muddy, and you have to go out and find the horseshoe, and it's muddy, so it's already, like, stuck down in there, and then the field is dried over top of it. So, I mean, the shoes are gone, and then they surface, like, 3 months later. Yeah, I totally feel
you,
Katie.
And you know how they surface? They surface with a nail sticking in the bottom of another horse's foot. Exactly
how
they surface. Hey, Jamie,
yes.
I posted up there this morning, you actually cooked Reese's food last night, like you said you were going to.
I did. I actually kind of made my own, I had to make my own version of it, because what I thought was chicken breast that I was thawing the entire day was actually, when I opened it up, chicken strips. So I made Chad pound them as flat and long as I could, and I made like little couscous in a blanket. So they're a lot of little tiny pieces.
Like.
What, Glenn?
I said I posted them up on Facebook so everybody can go see on our Horses in the Morning page on Facebook.
Yeah, it was very easy, but oh my gosh, yeah, messy. Like I had stuff. I showed you. You posted the picture of my kitchen afterwards where there's like a chopper, a zester, like all sorts of stuff out there. But it actually didn't take tremendously long at all. And my husband did give it a 9 out of 10. So that is an extremely good score, because a 10 out of 10 is a steak. So a T-bone. So pretty good.
What?
He really, really liked it. And the couscous, whatever, that flavor of the couscous is amazing.
And he got through the night safely?
Did I what?
He got through the evening safely?
Oh, yeah. He was very happy.
Okay. No, what I meant is he didn't get sick. He's okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm like, safely? What are you saying, Glenn? No, he didn't get sick. I cook every night, Glenn. I've only made him sick twice. So that's not bad.
Hey, we got an email yesterday from Phyllis in Texas, our old friend there from December, Phyllis, and she said, what fun to order from CD Baby. Take a look at this great marketing idea. They made me feel like a queen. Best bunch of baloney I ever heard. Kind of like the fun we have with the attendants when flying Southwest Airlines or listening to Glenn and Jamie on Horses in the Morning. And what she did is she went in and ordered a CD of Marianne Kennedy songs. And by the way, we encourage everybody to go do that. Marianne Kennedy and Templeton Thompson and some of the new ones we have coming up this year, they allow us to play their music for free. So if you could support them and buy their music, we would certainly appreciate that. CD Baby is the name of a company that they sell their music from, and most independent artists actually sell through CD Baby, and it's a great, terrific company. But listen to the email she gets back. She ordered Marianne Kennedy's special edition box set, so she got the big box. And so, well, thank you very much, Phyllis in Texas, for doing that. And this is what they write back on her order confirmation. Your CD has been gently taken from our CD Baby shelves with sterilized contamination-free gloves and placed onto a satin pillow. A team of 50 employees inspected your CD and polished it to make sure it was in the best possible condition before mailing. Our packing specialist from Japan lit a candle and a hush fell over the crowd as they put your CD into the finest gold-lined box that money can buy. We all had a wonderful celebration afterwards, and the whole party marched down the street to the post office where the entire town of Portland waved bon voyage to your package, and it's on its way to you in our private CD Baby jet on this day, January 6, 2011. We hope you had a wonderful time shopping at CD Baby. In commemoration, we have placed your picture on our wall as Customer of the Year. We're all exhausted but can't wait for you to come back to cdbaby.com. And then it says, P.S., we miss you already. We'll be right here at cdbaby.com, patiently awaiting your return. What a clever marketing cookie that is.
That's fantastic. It makes me want to go buy something from them. That's awesome. That's very cool. What a great idea. Absolutely. And then we miss you already. We'll be right here at CD Baby.
I love that. 50 employees inspected your CD. We lit a candle.
And a hush fell over the crowd. I love it. Fantastic. Good job, CD Baby. And thanks so much, Phyllis, for sending us that. We will definitely encourage many more people to buy. And like you said, Marianne Kennedy and Templeton Thompson, they sell their music on there because this is actually the, you know, without having to have credit card machines of their own and all the different distribution, these guys handle everything for them, and it's a really good company.
And there's a lot of terrific artists on there. You can just go to cdbaby.com. And this isn't a paid commercial. It's just because Phyllis wrote to it. You can go to cdbaby.com. You can just look around. You can listen to shorts of all the songs. So it's a great place, and I highly recommend it. And we want you to go out and buy Templeton's and Marianne Kennedy's music. And Marianne said thanks to our show, she's been selling more CDs. So we really appreciate everybody who has done that. Thank you very much. Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm going to get a little bit serious on everybody here this morning. And I know, don't do it, it's Friday. But there's something important coming up this weekend that I wanted to talk about. And Jennifer and I feel pretty strongly about this because we know him. There's a benefit, you know, I was going to say benefit concert, but it's not a concert. There's a benefit day, a fundraiser coming up for our friend Michael Richardson. Michael is a horse trainer and out of Texas, who we met probably 10 years ago at one of the expos, either in Maryland or Pennsylvania, at one of the Horse World Expos or Horse Expos. And he's a terrific clinician. He was an inventor, and at the age of, did all kinds of things, actually. And at the age of 19, he was in a car accident and was paralyzed from the waist down. So he did, from then on, he became a wheelchair athlete. You actually, didn't he tell us he was qualified to go to the wheelchair or to the Olympics?
He was an Olympic level wheelchair racer too.
A wheelchair racer for the distance racing, like marathon racing in wheelchairs. And he also after a bit started riding again with the help of a special saddle that would strap him in when he sat up there, because he had no use of anything from his waist down. So he is a terrific, wonderful guy. Well, he's had a rough, and it was amazing seeing him at these clinics because he's sort of a natural horseman, and he trains horses from his wheelchair. He's trained horses. They put him in a round pen, and first of all, you know what the footing's like at these shows in a round pen. It's sand, and it's deep, and he's there pushing himself with his arms through the sand in the wheelchair. Talk about strength. But they put him in there with a colt, that had never really had anything done with it. And within 15, 20 minutes, that colt was coming over to him in the wheelchair, in the scary wheelchair, and he developed a bond with that colt within an hour. Wheelchair or not, he was working with that colt. It was the most amazing thing that you ever seen. So we talked to him after we went out to dinner with he and his lovely wife, who should be absolutely fainted. She actually married him after the accident, and has been by his side through all the things he's gone through. This man has probably had 30 surgeries since then on his back. He's had back problems, all kinds of things that have happened. And the last couple, 3 years have been especially tough. He hasn't been able to work. He keeps going up to, I think it's the Mayo Clinic or one of those up in the northern part of the country, one of the really big ones, I forget which one. And he's been there for months at a time. This last year, he was bitten by a brown recluse spider and has had all kinds of problems with that. So he's been in and out of the hospital. He's just got out the other day from another stint of about 2 months in the hospital. And he's just had a rough time of it. And one of his friends, by the name of Bill Muncaster and his wife, said, well, we have to help Michael out. He is the nicest guy, I'm telling you, in the world. He is just the most generous guy. And, despite all of his disability, despite the rough road he's had, he always is the most optimistic person. He never whines. And Bill said, we have to do something to help him out. So I had a chance to interview Bill about what's coming up on January 9th, and we're going to talk about that. It's called the Michael Richardson Benefit that he put together in Texas to help raise money for Michael and all of his medical bills. And he explains it. He put a lot of calls out there for some clinicians, some of the top in the world clinicians, to come together and help Michael. And the response was beyond what he could have imagined. So let's take a listen, to the couple minutes that I spent with Bill Muncaster, a friend of Michael Richardson.
Well, I'm here with Bill Muncaster, who is a friend of Michael Richardson and helped put the benefit that's coming up on January the 9th from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Talk about a benefit. You guys you do it big in Texas. Most benefits last 3 hours. You're doing all day there, Bill.
Well, to be quite honest with you, we could have probably done a three-day event with all the help and people that wanted that. Once they found out about Michael and his position, they were just jumping on board, as you can see by the caliber of people that are presenting this one day.
Yeah. Now let's talk about that a little bit. So this benefit is to help Michael Richardson out, and I was just talking about him a little bit here on the show, and what an incredible individual he is, and what a hard time he's had over the last 3 years through no fault of his own. It's terrific that you guys put this together, but it is more than terrific that all of these people have come together in one place to help one guy, and that's Craig Cameron and Chris Cox and Tom Curtin and Buster McClory and Pat and Linda Pirelli, and the Rick Lamb's going to be there emceeing with Peter Campbell. It just, there's just a whole lot of people going to be there. And I assume, they're all donating their time and effort to come down and help Michael out as well.
Absolutely. The reason it got so big is when we decided we would do this, I picked up the phone, just called these individuals, left messages for them to call me back. Some of them were on the road or doing clinics. And I just kept calling everybody I knew and just mentioning what I wanted. And everybody, without exception, nobody said no. They couldn't do it or they didn't want to do it. Everybody was like, yeah, put me on. I said, well, don't you want to know what date it is? I haven't got a date yet. They said, it doesn't matter. Just let me know when it is. We'll move it around and We'll help you any way we can, help Michael, that is. So it was actually just breathtaking the response that I got from everyone that I called.
Yeah, that is, you know, usually you do that like you did, and I'm sure this is what you're expecting. You make those calls. You make 20 calls hoping to get two.
Yeah. You know, but like I say, without exception, and it didn't just end there. You know, we started, well, what else do you need us to do? And I'm like, these guys are busy guys. I mean, it's, you know, it's a busy time for them. They've got their promoting and doing their thing for the following year. And, I mean, it was just, in, without exception, as I say, they were just so generous and magnanimous in what they wanted to do to help this guy. So, you know, it's just really refreshing that these guys can come together to help one of their own.
Now, this is at the Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, at the Fort Worth Stockyards. And this is January 9th, which is Sunday, from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. People can still get in to see it?
You bet. We had advised people to you know, to buy the tickets through PayPal, which we use because, as I say, we're trying to – the object of this game is to raise money to help Michael. And we didn't do it through people like Ticketmaster or anyone like that because of the commission that they charge, which they're entitled to. But this is just being 100% nonprofit, and with the exception of a small charge for the Coliseum, every penny goes, has been going to Michael. And it's just been absolutely magnanimous, the response for the silent auction. We've had Preferred donated a 50-foot round pen, which I asked them to let us use, and they said, yeah, when you finish with it, just auction it off, and that will help out with some of the expenses.
Wow.
Purina, of course, who Michael is a spokesperson for, they have donated several tons of feed, not only for this event, but also for a trail ride that we did for Michael back in November. You know, and one lady even donated a Sean Ryan saddle, cutting horse saddle, which is about a $4,800 value. I mean, you know, people are just bringing in stuff from all over. I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
And do you have an idea? You have, I assume that you're going to have a turnout. I mean, where else can you go for one day and see all these people together? You just can't.
Well, you know, a friend of mine asked me, he said, how on earth did you get all of these clinicians to agree to do this? He wasn't being rude. He just said it would be impossible to do on a commercial basis, you know. I mean, just couldn't do it. And I said, I didn't. I said, they all did it for Michael.
Well, that's terrific. And we want to tell everybody, you can, if you can't make the function, you can still help Michael out. You can go to his website, and there's a PayPal button right on his website there. And can you give the website address again?
What is that website address, Susan?
Is it at BrokenRRanch.com?
Yeah,
is that, yep.
BrokenRRanch.com.
All right, so you can go to BrokenRRanch.com. And just follow the PayPal button. Donate $5, $10, whatever you can afford to do. You know, as I said, I've known Michael for a long time. You cannot, and I think you'll agree with this, you cannot find a more sincere, honest human being than Michael. And Tiffany, his wife, has to be the she is one of the saints on earth.
That's correct. Also, we're doing a live stream feed from the Coliseum.
Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It'll be available. If people want to go to the official Facebook site, which is Michael Richardson Benefit, there's a full list of instructions on how to hook up so you can watch it on your computer.
Well, that's
and
terrific. I didn't know about that.
We'll also have a DVD of the event for sale later on, and like I say, with you know, everything will just go to Michael's to help Michael.
All right, that's great. And of course, we'll put links to Michael's website and everything in our show notes here at horsesinthemorning.com. Thank you, Bill, so much for joining us today and talking about Michael. And I assume is he going to be able to make an appearance there that day?
He is hoping to come in. Of course, you know, he's under a very, very strict regimen to sit-up time, but he really is going to try to make the effort, and it depends how he feels by the time he gets back home from Minnesota.
Okay.
And if he can, he will. He wants to very much to be able to just, if nothing else, just come in and thank everyone for what they've done for him. He's just overwhelmed with the response.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Well, that was very nice of Bill to join us. And did you catch that at the end there, that they are streaming this whole day, that everybody can watch it?
That's absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, it's like you want to donate, but you're not there, and you really wish that you were going to be a part of it. Well, this is the way you can be a part of it and feel, you know, even if you don't know Michael, just feel good about donating just for the whole, you know, community event that's going to happen down there. I really would love to go. I mean, the names at this clinic are just, they're as big as they get. Craig Cameron, Chris Cox, Pirelli, you know, all these guys are going to be there. And it's just a really, really great event going to a really great guy. So, you know, good luck to everybody. I wish I was there. I might have to stream.
Well, and I wanted to say to Jennifer, too, I don't know if she's listening here, as a potential guest idea, I would really like to get, and I've seen stuff about him before, is Alan Pogue's Imagine a Horse. If we could get Alan on sometime for the morning show, that would be terrific. Put him on your list of people to get on the morning show. And be sure to just go. I just went over to, you just search Michael Richardson, and a benefit pops up on Facebook, and you can go on there and get the details on how to watch this whole day from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., almost 11 hours, on Sunday from the Coliseum there in Fort Worth. You can watch it streaming on your computer. So drop in, and you know what I would say to do? Make believe you're there. Donate the $25 and then watch it like you're there. And then that way you accomplish both things. You get to see it and you donate too. So that's for Michael, our friend over there in Texas, who was on his way back from the hospital. And Katie confirms for us on Facebook that it was the Mayo Clinic. To get home, they had to rent a minivan and actually put a mattress in the back of it. And it's a several day trip because he can only sit up for a half an hour at a day. So he had a long trip home, too. So that's that. Let's take a break right now for our sponsor this half hour is Kentucky Performance Products. And we appreciate them continuing their support of Horses in the Morning.
Choose Kentucky Performance Products supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to KPP. This week, I want to speak with you about Elevate Maintenance Powder. This time of year, horses are consuming very little grass and may not be able to get enough natural vitamin E. Horses in rigorous training, seniors, broodmares, and stallions often require additional levels of vitamin E to meet their needs. When you need to supplement with natural vitamin E, choose Elevate Maintenance Powder. Affordable, effective, and research-proven, Elevate Maintenance Powder's vitamin E is nature's most powerful antioxidant, protecting your horse on the cellular level. Elevate Maintenance Powder supports the strong immune system and healthy muscle function necessary for top performance. It's affordable, it's easy to feed, and you can learn more about this and all their other products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
So, Glenn, our next guest that's going to be coming up here in just a minute is a woman named Heather Craven. And what we're going to do is we would like to highlight people that, you know, adopt a horse because, Lord knows, there's so many horses out there that need homes that have success stories or that are just happy. You know, it can be a backyard pet that you adopt. And we want to hear from you. We want you guys to nominate your friends, nominate yourselves, and because we want to get your stories on the adoption process and how things are going right now with you and your horse. And we picked this woman, Heather Craven. She's actually a veterinarian, and she is going to talk a little bit about the rescue that she got the horse from and some of the challenges that have come up because of this horse. And just to start out with, you know, you got to practice what you preach, right? I actually adopted a horse as well from the sheriff's department here in Phoenix. And you know, it's definitely a challenging thing to do for so many reasons. First of all, you're getting a horse that you really a lot of times don't know the background of. You don't know anything about it. You know, I just picked him because the vet clinic I worked for at the time, we did all the work for the sheriff's department, and I walked into this facility, which is in the jail, and I walked all the way to the back, and there's these little stalls, and they've got some shade covers and stuff, and he looked at me, poked his head out, and just whinnied right at me, and you know when they give you that little knicker, it just about breaks your heart.
That ruins it every time.
Oh, he's like, you know, gives me that little, like, come get me, Winnie. And so I went home, and I was like, Chad, I have something to tell you. I saw a horse today, and he really needs a home, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and he whinnied at me, and he's so pretty, and he's so sweet, and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, you should adopt him, you know. You could do that. That would be something that you could do, and we could get him some training and, you know, rehome him if we have to or keep him. And, Lord knows, this has been the most challenging horse that I have ever come across. But I would like to let everybody know the update on Jet was, you know, he was had some severe aggression issues and, I mean, things like just fear. He's still food aggressive, but he's getting better. He was just a bucker. I mean, it's just everything that could go wrong with a horse. And it's because I found out a lot about his history. You know, finding out that he was a racehorse, and then he was sold to be a part of the illegal match racing, a lot of guys will take horses and match race them in the desert. And then he was tied to a swing set in somebody's backyard for a couple months until he turned into the horse that you can find on Facebook right now. Glenn just posted the pictures of him when they confiscated him, when the sheriff's department confiscated him. It's kind of a picture of a picture, but that's what he looked like when he got him. And then the one above is my husband riding him Western, which is very, very special. But he's been a bit challenging, and he was tied to a swing set, starved to death. So the last thing you want to do with this horse is tie him up straight. But he cross ties now, and yesterday he did his first jump course ever. Yay!
Wow, yay! That's great.
Now, when I say his first jump course, they're all cross rails, and he basically flings himself over. And out of the six jumps in the course, he only knocked over four. So, it's not quite glamorous yet, but he's getting better, and he's not bucking, and he's not bolting, and he's not spooking, and he's just a happy guy. So there are success stories. If you have the heart and you have the home, open it up to a rescue. And that's what this lovely woman did. She got a rescue horse, and I guess, Heather, go ahead and just tell us about him.
Well, he's a really neat horse. I'm a veterinarian, so for a long time, my first few years out of work, which I work at the racetrack, I didn't have a lot of time. And in the past year, I started riding again and thought I wanted to have a horse of my own again. And when it came down to it, I thought that doing a rescue was a good option for me because I really wanted to be able to give something back to the horse industry because I obviously make my living as part of the horse industry. And last winter, I was checking out different horse rescue websites, and I came across a picture of Phil, and there was just something about him I really liked. And so I thought, when I get back to Kentucky in the spring, I'm going to see if he's still there. And sure enough, he was still there. And so I called and made arrangements to go out to see him and really liked him. He was retired. He had a successful career as a racehorse and retired with a sesamoid fracture, which I think puts some people off. They worry about, you know, what kind of athletic potential they may be able to have with a horse like that. But being a vet, I felt like that was something I'd be able to maintain. And the people at the Kentucky Equine Humane Center were great, working around my crazy hours to give me a chance to go out there and see him and then to, again, see him under saddle. And it has worked out great. I would not take $2 million for that horse. He is an ambassador to thoroughbreds everywhere. To ride him, you have to carry a little stick with you to encourage him to go. He's bomb-proof, and I think if you could take him home, he'd walk in your front door and sit on the couch and watch television with you. He's like a big pet. But it is so nice to be able to go out at the end of the day and spend time with him, and it doesn't matter if you ride or not. I mean, he's just a joy to be around.
So when you have, you got Phil, and by the way, afterwards, email us a photo of him so we can put it up on our Facebook. You know, do you know anything about his history? How did he get to the Humane Center?
Well, it's kind of interesting. At the time when I was looking at him, I did not know a thing about him. When I adopted him and got his paperwork, I saw a copy of the Coggins that they had sent in with him when he was donated. And I actually knew the trainer who had had him. And he had been down at Gulfstream Park the previous winter and had his blood work and stuff taken. And I'm assuming that they retired him due to the sesamoid fracture. So I did contact that assistant for that trainer, because I know them really well, and asked them if they remembered a horse named Phil the Power. And, of course, they did. And they said, well, the injury he had was career-ending for him, but he was such a lovely horse to be around. The thing I'm not certain of is how he came to be at the rescue center. I think there might have been a person in between his track life versus how he actually came there. So I'm not certain on that. But it's funny because if you get on YouTube, I've been able to watch a lot of his previous races. He was very interesting that some of the horses he raced against were horses that I treat as a veterinarian at the racetrack for clients. And he even raced against one horse that was a Breeders' Cup runner, Precious Passion. So it was really a lot of fun to kind of research his history on my own.
Oh, and that's the cool thing about adopting a thoroughbred. I was just telling the story of Jed, obviously, while you're on hold, and I did his tattoo research, and it turns out his dad is a Kentucky Derby winner. So it's just so fun.
Fantastic.
Isn't that cool? So you do the tattoo research, you know, you try to kind of figure out what it is, and then you take it in, and it's just such a cool thing that they do with the thoroughbreds to be able to find out the history. Now, what are some of the challenges that you guys had, you know, initially when you brought him home? Because, you know, your little heart goes out to him when you see him, you know, in the rescues and everything like that. I didn't have the opportunity to ride mine, but there's some challenges, obviously, that arise upon bringing a brand new horse home that's like, you know, hello, any idea? So what did you see?
Well, with Phil, I mean, the thing with thoroughbreds, they get handled an awful lot at the racetrack. He was really good with the basics of, you know, getting his feet picked out, being groomed. It was funny little things. I mean, he's used to being out with other horses being ridden and not giving that a second thought. It was funny the little things that he didn't know how to do, though, like you were talking about your horse and being able to be cross-tied. Phil had no clue what it was to be in a set of cross ties, so we went through a couple incidents of sitting back in the cross ties, which is exciting for everyone there and cross tied next to you. So, but we've worked that out, and he figured that out pretty quickly. But really, they had done such a remarkable job with starting him under saddle that it's been an easy transition for me. We have to work on little things like how to bend to the right, because at the racetrack we're very one-sided. We're really good to the left, but we have a hard time learning how to go to the right. So we're working on little issues like that and how to go, you know, in a nice frame and things like that. But overall, with handling, he knew a whole lot. And I think can attribute him being sort of bomb-proof to is the fact that with racehorses, they put them on trailers and they move them to new tracks all the time. They might ship for a race and go back home, or they ship south for the winter. So they are pretty well adjusted to what it's like to show up in a new place and then go on with business. Now, granted, some of them are a little more high-strung than that. I got really lucky in that Phil just has a really laid-back demeanor, so it's made the transition very easy.
I love the name Phil. But describing your rescue makes me want to send my horse there, because if bending to the right was my only problem, under saddle. So they actually do training at that facility. And so give us the name of that and tell us a little bit about them and the training.
Well, it's the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. And one of the things that I really liked about their program, I think all of the programs are fantastic. And there are a lot of programs that deal specifically with thoroughbreds, but this Humane Center, they take horses of all breeds. They have miniature horses, they have donkeys, they have had a couple of foals that have been born there. Any breed you can think of, they will take in and give it a home, in addition to thoroughbreds. I have always had a soft spot for thoroughbreds, and being that I work in that industry, that's what I really wanted to adopt. but they have also received a grant that enabled them to start a retraining program. And a lot of the Second Stride programs and New Vocations, a bunch of these do a lot with trying to start these horses under saddle and reeducate them as riding horses. So Phil was getting ridden 4 days a week at the Kentucky Humane Equine Center, and so that really helped, because when I contacted them, I was able to tell them, I don't have a whole lot of time to ride 5 days a week. I need something that has a sound mind, who's going to be kind of mellow, that is relatively quiet. Doesn't have to be 100% sound. I don't want to go out and do, you know, big shows on the weekend and jump 3-foot fences. I just want a horse I can enjoy riding. And so they were able to look through the horses that they have in their program, and they would know what was a decent match and what wasn't. Because they had had someone, a professional, riding that horse and spending time with them, they're able to pretty accurately gauge what they think that horse is capable of and what its mind is like. So I thought that was a huge help.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to have somebody that can tell you every tiny detail of kind of the horse and what they're like to be around and what they're like to ride, I mean, that is an amazing, just a kind of a, I don't know what the word would be, but it's just so nice to walk into that and have all that information at your disposal, and it makes the adoption process so much easier.
It really does, because it's, I think, scary to go out and adopt any horse that you know very little about. But in a situation like that where they've had that animal for several months and they've spent that amount of time, it really gives you more peace of mind, too. And then they were very willing to, you know, they were great because they wanted to call and check on them. They want pictures, all the volunteers that go there. Everybody's really excited to see these horses go on and succeed. So I think that's just been phenomenal.
It's kind of like a little party every time a horse gets adopted out there.
It's a big support group. It's fantastic.
It is. Everybody shows up, and there's practically balloons and birthday cake.
That's it. And you know exactly what it's like since you're doing it yourself.
Yep.
I'm looking at their website. It's kyehc.org for Kentucky Equine Health Center. And I'm looking at their website. Kind of something happens here when we talk about horses that I end up shopping. So I'm on there shopping right now, and there is the cutest paint. Looks like it's a quarter horse, I'm not sure, cross, and it's a paint gelding that is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. It's on there right now. So maybe Jennifer and I are going to have to take a ride down. I don't know.
Apache or?
Apache.
Apache is awfully snazzy.
Apache is.
They have great horses.
Oh, they have all different breeds here, too. You're right. Thoroughbreds, ponies, Percheron. There's a Percheron. Palominos, little tiny ponies, miniature horses, they have everything there. And, of course, they're only one of many terrific rehoming centers around the country.
That's right.
So
I think
what
they
is,
all do a tremendous job.
Wow, there's some pretty ponies on here. Hey, what are the adoption requirements? Like, what do you have to go through to adopt a horse?
Well, you fill out their basic application, which is a little bit about you and why you're interested in adopting a horse. You have to send in pictures of the facility that you want to keep the horse in, and you have to have a few references and generally a little note from your veterinarian. But other than that, you know, you get those things into them and talk to them on the phone, and they're all great, tell them what you're looking for, and then just schedule a time to go out, see what they have, what you may be interested in, and kind of take it from there.
Well, that's
okay,
great.
So,
I think that, and then you did yours. I mean, of course, Jamie came to hers a different way through the sheriff's department, which is they work a little bit differently out there for some of the rescues in Arizona. And I think it's great that instead of, well, I think the admirable about what you did, Heather, is you, instead of going out and wanting a perfectly, absolutely sound horse that you didn't have any, you know, that weren't going to have any trouble with in the beginning, because you are a veterinarian, you chose to take in a horse that probably was going to be a little harder to adopt to most people.
That was important to me. That was really important to me, because I think so many times little soundness issues like that, or tendons that, you know, will set up and heal, but maybe limit the athletic performance of a horse. Those horses do seem to be harder to place. And I just know for what I wanted to do, there was not going to be any limitation. And the funniest thing about Phil and the fact that he had a sesamoid fracture, as anybody that owns a horse knows, I think they stand in the stall at night and dream up a new thing to do to themselves. So I've had problems with an abscess and a hoof. I had a blown up leg one day. He got kicked and stifled by another horse another time. Minor things that we all are very well aware of and happen every time they see you come their way with a saddle. But the one leg I have not had any trouble with whatsoever was the broken leg. It has not given me a moment's worry. It's never been hot. It's never been swollen. He's always been sound on that one. So that just tickles me to no end. So I think that these horses, given the time and the patience and maintenance, there's no limit to what they can do.
That's fantastic that you say that. It's funny because my rescue, oh, the big tough guy, got kicked in the pasture, broke a splint bone. Then my $400 rescue was going to need $1,700 worth of surgery, which thank God one vet said, just wait it out. We can always do the surgery later. And now he's totally sound on that. And now his right hind hock is always kind of hot intermittently. I'm like, you are the most expensive $400 horse I have ever seen.
Exactly.
But you know what? My warm blood has done worse things than that to himself. So it's just horses in general.
It is.
But listen, you know, give the website so people can, you know, learn more about that rescue. And if you have a website or anything, let us know how people can get in touch with you if anybody has any questions or anything like that.
Sure, absolutely. It's the Kentucky Equine Humane Center at www.kyehc.org. They update it frequently. They do a lot of fun things and are planning a show in the spring. I encourage everybody to check it out and see if you can find your forever friend on there.
Ooh, a show
and
in the spring. Oh, goody.
Yeah, bring your horse and let's go. And I'm Heather Craven, and I work with Northrop Equine, and we have a website, which is Northrop Equine. You can Google us and find us there.
I would like to go ahead and submit my application for Act of the Part, the first horse listed.
Is he fancy or what?
Gosh, he's gorgeous. And retired sound after 85 starts. That is going to be one tough guy. Oh, my gosh, that's
he
cool.
He needs to be an eventer, doesn't he? Yeah.
Oh, I can see him now. Hey, thank you so much for being a part of the show, and let us know if we can ever do anything for you and Phil, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Heather.
All right. Bye, Heather.
Bye-bye.
That's awesome.
Well, that was
I love it when
we going to do this on a regular basis, Jennifer? Is this going to be a regular thing?
Yeah, we're going to do the rehome highlight monthly, and if you are a recent adopter or know one, drop me an email, Jennifer@Horse Radio Network, and in the subject line put rehome highlight or adopting highlight, and we'll get as many as we can on because I suspect we will be flooded with them. But we're going to try to highlight a fun and interesting success story each month.
And if you have a horse that you've adopted that you want to tell us about today, give us a call at 347-637-3238. We want to hear about your rehomed horse and how that's worked out for you, and we would love to hear your story. Well, you know, when I knew we were going to have this segment on today, there was only one song that we could do, and this song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information from vaccines to wormings, to farrier, to dentist visits, all of that stuff together and easily accessible right on your iPhone. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events like when next vaccine is or when you have to do the next worming, and you can do that on up to 8 horses, and you can do it all on your iPhone. That's one of the cool things. Let's start using technology for us here in the horse world, and PocketStable.com makes that possible. Well, I'm going to say that this is a tissue alert, because if I don't say that, Jamie will be mad at me again. So, Jamie, you can run off and get some breakfast while I play the most appropriate song we could do today from Marianne Kennedy, and this one is called Who Saved Who.
Who looking for someone to call your own. Then right before your eyes, an open heart wants to be your home. Unwanted, unneeded, now there is love. Who saved who to the world? It looks like I saved you. Who saved who? We both know the truth. Who saved who? Funny how your fate can change in just one day. No matter who you are, life is better when you share the way. I ask you, who rescued, who needed more?
Gosh, are you kidding me with that? I can't escape it. How can I get away from that? I have to listen to it, and then it just makes me so sad, and I'm looking at all these adoptable horses online, and I'm picking my favorites, and I'm listening to that song, and I just, oh, you're killing me. Oh, that was Marianne Kennedy, who saved who, and who made who cry, whatever. Oh, my.
Well, you know you haven't had a good cry yet this week, so.
I know, you know, I think I've only cried once this week, so, you know, it was due to get a little misty again. I'm trying to recover, it's okay. Well, I think we have Lisa on the phone, so she's going to save me from my cry. Glenn, do you want to introduce Lisa and talk about what she's going to talk about?
That time on Friday when we do the weekly Chronicle report from the Chronicle of the Horse. Lisa joins us every week, and we have a lively chat about something. And today we thought, well, seeing Janie was going to be crying coming out of this whole segment anyway. We talk about falling, another thing that kind of makes you cry at times. So that's falling off your horse, that is. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
How are you doing? We haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
I know. There was a couple of small minor holidays in between there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And today we're going to talk about the article that you guys posted, a little survey you did. So tell us about that.
Well, it's pretty funny. They did last year, the U.S. Eventing Association did a survey, and if you fell off at a horse trials, they would mail you the survey, and it, you know, then you can mail
well,
it back.
It wasn't
if you...
degrading enough that you fell off, but because you fell off in
then
the mail
do...
the next week, you get a survey about falling off.
Yeah, then you have to do paperwork, which is, you know, the worst thing. But it was,
doesn't
you know,
fair.
You could opt into it. You didn't have to do it. And so it says they sent out 276 surveys, and they received 124 responses. So it's pretty good. That's almost half.
Yeah,
and
that's not a bad number.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
So they asked questions like the first question was, if you could have ridden the fence you fell out again, would you have done something differently? And
well, that's kind of a duh one, isn't it?
Yeah,
I would have stayed on, thanks.
No, I want to fall off again. It was so much fun the first time.
Yeah, who doesn't love falling off?
Yeah.
But actually, only 74% of people said they would have done something differently, and 21% said no, they wouldn't have done anything differently at all.
Okay, they liked the hospital visit. They really liked it.
Maybe the ground was really soft that day, and it was, you know, just a fun experience. And then 5% said that their fall wasn't related to the jump, so they wouldn't have done anything differently. You know, their horse slipped, or they spooked, or something.
Lisa, I thought something that was funny here was some of the comments. They also posted some of the comments after some of these questions.
Yeah, the comments are hilarious.
My horse stopped. I kept going. Well, yep, that'll cause you to fall off every time.
And it says that 70 riders referred to specific pilot errors, and one of the comments under that was, I would not have panicked and yanked his teeth out three strides before the jump, poor creature. Or I would have given a much bigger half halt.
Yeah.
And then the riders who described their falls as unrelated to the jump, one person said, my horse bucked me off. It was totally unrelated to a fence. Thus, he is sold.
There you go. He was rehomed.
Yeah. And then some of the riders thought that the course attributed to their fall because of uneven footing or hard ground or, you know, transition from light to dark. And two riders felt they had problems with their tack equipment. And one of them said, I would have taken the time to unbraid my horse. I could have grabbed a chunk of mane as she leapt into the water jump.
Yeah. Oops. And how many times have I scrambled to get the braids out for the exact same reason? Like, if you're, because you have to do dressage, and then sometimes when these horse trials are, they have all three events, the cross country is right after dressage,
yep,
because then you have show jumping later. They do. They schedule things so quickly, and it's kind of the last thing you think about, and if you got yarn braids in, it's kind of a pain. But that is the one thing I'm like, okay, always change my breeches, because I wear white in dressage, and you don't want to wear white breeches when you're riding cross country, because then you're just looking to get them dirty. That's
yeah,
kind of
or
a,
looking to go for a
thing.
Swim.
Yeah, looking to get them dirty and go for a swim. And the braids have got to come out, because that is your, oh, you know what, handle.
Can you say braid bands?
I know, right? Wouldn't that be nice? If you can do that every time, great.
So then the next question was, did you feel your approach had the proper impulsion and balance and that your horses on the line needed to successfully answer the question? And 43% said yes, 57% said no. The next question is, did you walk your course with a coach trainer who rides at or above this level? If so, is this person your regular coach? And 75% said yes, walked with a coach trainer, which I found surprising. I thought that was actually pretty high.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
And then 15% said, no, I did not walk with a coach trainer. And 8% said, no, walked alone. Rider has upper-level experience. Oh, and then 6% walked the course with someone who is not their regular coach.
Now, it would be interesting, and they don't set up the surveys to work this way, to see if you combined answers. In other words, a person who responded, I would not ride the jump differently.
Yeah.
Is also a person who did not walk the course with a coach.
Yeah, that is interesting. That would be
I think it would be interesting to look at certain questions together.
Right.
To see if there's a correlation, because I think that the number of people who said they would not have ridden the fence differently, I was surprised how that high that was. I would have expected it to be, you know, a lot lower than that.
Yeah.
So get with it,
now,
USGA. Crunch those numbers.
Maybe some of those people that answered like that, though, were the ones who weren't affected by the jump. So, you know, spooking, bucking, anything like that. The only time I fell off on cross country, I'm going to knock on wood, is they had just cleared out this whole area of a galloping lane and you came through. And they didn't know that they had disturbed a pile of bees.
Oh.
And as I was going through, this horse started bucking and bucking and bucking and got me off. I mean, I was like catapulted into the air.
Oh.
The horse gallops all the way back to the warm-up area, hits the brakes when he can't get through the fence, slides underneath the little tape fence, runs back to the barn, and then we see the entire collection of bee stings that are inside his leg. I felt
bad. Poor thing. Poor guy.
Yeah, but still, don't buck me off. It hurt.
Not fun. Bee stings didn't?
Say what?
And the bee stings didn't?
I didn't hurt me. I didn't get stung.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So not related to the jumps, so I wouldn't have jumped anything differently. But, yeah, I definitely would have run through
maybe
that part of the
field. Maybe you would have taken a different track.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a strap in front of your saddle or something.
Yeah.
So I'll skip ahead a couple questions because some of them are about studs and
I like number 9, though. Prior to the surveyed fall, how many falls have you had this season at home and at a competition?
Yeah,
none
that was interesting, too.
29%, one was 28%, and two was 30%. Three or more was 13%.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
It is. But it doesn't
maybe
say
consider a lower level.
It doesn't
smaller
say
jump.
How many falls off that particular horse. You know, I mean, I think about professionals who ride 7 horses a day every day, and it seems likely, you know, that they would maybe fall off 3 times in a year just because they sit on so many horses.
Like one of the comments that they said is, you know, they asked people and then they could comment on it, and one lady said approximately 7 falls, mostly because I ride young, green, snarky horses and have some issues with my lower leg security and upper body position. Yeah, that's a bad combination, woman. What are you doing?
Maybe
yeah,
more snarky
working
horses
on
in your life.
Issues,
green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
Amen, brother. Why would you be riding young, green, snarky horses, but you also have issues with lower leg security and upper butt? So basically, you're a lean forward and let your legs slip behind you, and then you flip off.
Yeah,
bad idea to ride
green horses.
Yeah.
And then, but there was someone who said I hadn't fallen off in 12 years, which is also really amazing. I can't imagine going 12 years without falling off.
They've ridden one horse, so.
Yeah, maybe once a week
exactly.
or something.
They need to do a per capita statistic there, per hours of riding, how many falls.
Yep. And then the next interesting one I thought was they asked how will your fall today impact what you do at your next event with this horse, and 10.4% said I still want to move up to the next level, 6.4% said I want to drop down a level, and 78.2% said I will stay at this level, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because only 6.4% of people said they would drop down.
I expected that's kind of where I expected it to be, though. I thought that the vast majority of people would not want to drop down after a fall.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Well, some falls, you know, there's falls and falls, too. I mean, that is true, except what, you know, and the reason they went to the rule, and I'm reading the end, all the comments at the end here about how people don't like the no falls rule.
Right.
And what that basically says in eventing now is you fall off in the cross-country course, you're hiking it back, you're done.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't that way before, but yet, you know, we've been to shows, some of the lower level shows, where they would fall off, and then at the next jump, they're falling off again. They put that rule in there for a reason. It's because it'd be 2 or 3 falls in a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not ready for that level, you're just not ready. And this rule was meant to give you a chance to chill out and figure it out.
Right. Although I do think,
you know,
I mean, there are instances where, you know, what if your horse does spook or you're riding a super green horse and he stops and then you're just done? I think, you know, that creates sort of a bad situation for people who are riding young horses because it kind of teaches them a lesson. Like, well, it just stopped and now I get to take a nice little
There's nothing in the rule that says you can't go back to the schooling ring and school your horse.
That's
but
true.
But does anybody do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure
I would be willing to bet the vast majority of people fall off. They're not allowed to finish.
Yeah.
They go back to the trailer.
Yeah.
There is no rule that says you can't get back on your horse, go back out to the schooling area, find somebody to work with, and work out what you're doing. So I don't buy into the whole teaching the horse a bad lesson.
Yeah.
If your horse,
no,
Jennifer,
that is not the case. You cannot get on and go back out and ride a cross-country course. You can try
to
get permission from...
But you can go to the schooling arena and school in the warm-up arena.
Those jumps are so different. You know, maybe my horse is having problems with a particular fence or with the water or something. I could go back into the schooling ring and jump some rail jumps, but it's a totally different environment, totally different kind of fence.
Yeah, I just don't buy into the whole it teaches the horse a bad lesson thing. I just don't buy into it.
Well, I would love for them to let you get back on, try to jump it one more time, and then retire. When the rule came out about the one fall, and we're getting a little bit off topic here, but I thought it was a great idea because so many people get flung off. But that was kind of the fun of eventing, was you could fall off, get back on, and keep going. And that's part of what I liked about eventing.
Yeah.
It just breeds a tougher rider.
Right.
But I understand the safety concerns these days and how sensitive everybody is about it, and I don't think it's ever going to change back, so we just have to learn to accept it. But, you know, I do think it teaches them bad. You can't go after the horse trial unless you get permission from the course person and the TD and the owner of the farm to go back out there and school the fence with a coach, you know, and then it's kind of a big mess. Yeah, you can go jump, like you're saying, you know, a warm-up fence, but they're not going to let you go back out there on course.
Right. And they had tons of comments about that. And actually, they said at the USCA meeting, they are thinking about reconsidering that rule because they reversed it in Great Britain. It hasn't shown any negative effects, you know, after changing it back to where you could get back on and ride again. So that might actually be something that we could see change in the next couple of years, which...
Gosh, I would be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, they're doing a lot of work now. Another thing they talked about was people with head injuries. You know, because that was one of the problems, is they didn't want someone getting tossed off and having a concussion and trying to ride around. And so they're talking about, you know, if you have a head injury, you may be suspended for 30 days or however long they determine that it would take you to recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the jockeys are required to do that kind of stuff. They're not allowed to ride after a certain period of time with certain types of injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, gee, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Head injuries is a different story. I wish football players would learn from that.
But when you think about it, a lot of eventers think that's a very unfair rule. And I totally get it because eventing is such an enormously expensive sport.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to find places to school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to the best of my knowledge, there are no disciplines where you can fall off during your competition and continue. If you fall off the jumper ring, you're done. If you fall in hunters, you're done.
In that particular class. But the nice thing about those shows is you can just enter another class. You know, you can go right back in the ring.
Well, you can go right back in the ring, but you're not going to jump. You get to the next class,
right?
So to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're done.
Well, it's obvious that this particular topic people are pretty passionate about one way or another.
Yeah, that's right.
Just listening to the three of you talk, it is a passionate topic. And I think it's just because, you know, eventing is so – you have to live this sport. And it just – you know, I can see – I probably could argue both sides of it in court. But I do think there has to be guidelines because – we all have seen the totally out of control riders going across country that you're going, this person's going to die today. And,
they've gotten
better with the TVs about pulling those people now and having some discretion to do that and actually doing it. So I think that's one of the changes that's happened. You know, they brought this rule in because they needed a blanket rule to calm the problem down. And now the people out on the course, the officials out on the course, have more leeway now to call ahead and say, this rider is just out of control.
Yep.
And I went to an event last year that Samantha was announcing at the Kentucky Horse Park, and I was up in the announcing booth with her, and we were just watching this one rider. She was out of control over every jump and in between the jump, everything, and they they finally called down and had her stop. And she had no clue why. And it just blew our minds. So now that that's happening, you probably could – I just think there's more there's more awareness out on the course now by the officials and everybody, and they have more power than they did before. So you could reverse it and get away with it and be a little safer about it now than you could 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's still going to be people that get hurt, and I think that's always going to be the case, unfortunately. But I think
you're
they have done a lot of good work. Yeah.
Yeah, you're riding a horse, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
They kind of go hand in hand.
Thank you so much for bringing us that this week. And you can find that at cronofhorse.com. The article was called Why Did You Fall Off? And they have a picture there of I'm not sure who. You can't tell because you can't see the horse's face or the rider's face in the water, but just their feet. So that's at cronofhorse.com. And I guess we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
Talk to you
next week.
All right, talk to you later.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Well, there you go. That was an interesting discussion. This half hour is sponsored by FeedXL. One of the things that we're never quite sure about when we have a horse is whether we're feeding the horse correctly or not. And there's a solution for that now with modern technology, and that's FeedXL.com. You can go over to FeedXL.com. It only takes you a couple of minutes to put in the information about your horse and what you feed your horse, everything from grains and supplements to hay, to grass, what kind of grass they get. Put all that information in, and within a couple of minutes, you're going to get a bunch of reports back that show, are you feeding too much of this or too little of that? You can actually save money by using FeedXL because maybe you're a little heavy in a supplement that costs a lot of money every month. Maybe you're feeding too much grain and you need to increase the amount of hay. Well, FeedXL was put together by doctors of nutrition who know what they're talking about. And certainly all of us are not doctors of nutrition. So you can rely on them to make sure you're feeding your horse correctly by just taking a few minutes to go to FeedXL.com. So now let me ask you there, Janie, what's up for this weekend? I know I'm heading down to the Helmet Symposium, and I wanted to mention that Monday morning I'm trying to locate a place to record from. If I can't, I will be checking in early in the show, and we'll give you a report of what went on at the Helmet Symposium. I'm going to meet some really interesting people down there, some of the top names in the horse world, some top doctors from around the country, and you know, just a lot of cool people are going to be there. So I hope in the first half hour of the show on Monday to give you a report back on that. And then, so that's what's going on there. How about you?
What I heard right there was, whoop, whoop, girl, show, what's up? No Glenn. It's going to be Girls' Day. Well, Jen, we'll get through the first half hour, and then it's girl talk. That is what we're going to do. Girl time. Okay, this weekend. this weekend is tomorrow's Chad's birthday, my husband's birthday.
So we will be celebrating.
I don't know how, because he actually has to work tomorrow, being a part of reservist. They work one weekend a month, and of course, it's tomorrow. Happy birthday. So not quite sure what we're going to have planned yet. We're going to do something on Sunday for him. And just riding. I am just in the ride your horse mode. Every day has been sunny and 65 degrees, 65 to 70. It's just been amazingly beautiful here. And this is what you suffer through the summer for. I was telling you guys earlier, I taught four lessons after the show and rode four horses. And that, I think today, I don't have any lessons scheduled on Fridays. I'm just going to ride four horses. So I'm pretty excited about that. And that's kind of the weekend. I can't think of anything else that's going on. Jennifer, what are you up to with your husband gone out of town?
Into the house. I am going to torment the cat. I'm going to cross my fingers for reasonable weather so I can ride outdoors. Been doing a lot of riding around the shed row this winter, so it'll be nice if the sunshine comes in a little bit. The hard part right now here is it defrosts every day for a few hours, 4 or 5 hours. But what we end up with is a slick layer of mud followed by permafrost. So
yeah.
Riding outdoors is a little dicey. So I've been in the shed row, which is kind of boring right now. So I'm going to cross my fingers for some sunshine, and I would love to do some cleaning. It's hard to clean tack when it's sub-zero inside the barn, and I'm a tack cleaning fanatic. And then I'm going to have every evening that Glenn is gone from 6:30 until 9, I'm going to have a Nat Geo TV marathon because I love Nat Geo as my new favorite station.
Nice. That sounds like fun, and I hope everybody out there has a great weekend. It's just, you know, being able to do this job and talk to you guys on a daily basis is what it's all about, and we are so happy, and I couldn't be happier. Glenn, I would be remiss if I did not mention the huge news story that came out yesterday, and I know we're about to wrap up, but, you know, Horse of the Year finalist came out, and Zenyatta is on the list. Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Of course, her arch nemesis, Blame, is also on the list. And Goldikova, the horse that came over from France. So, you know, good luck to Zenyatta, and they will be announcing it. I call January 17th the day of the puppies because that's when the puppies get here. So day of the 17th is going to be the greatest day ever because I'm going to get my puppies and Zenyatta is going to get Horse of the Year. So good luck to her and everybody else nominated in every other category. Blame, good luck in the older male category because you ain't winning Horse of the Year category. Sorry about that.
Well, and I wanted to tell everybody, too, that has written in or has posted that Jamie has not named the puppy yet. She'll do that after she gets the puppy on the 17th. But we do appreciate everybody who posted about that. It's been a great week for participation on Facebook. People have been posting, and we encourage you to keep that up. If you get a chance, you know, do a post on your own wall. Encourage people to stop over to Horses in the Morning to listen to the show every day and to become a fan on our Facebook page as well. Now we're within sight of the Western Radio Show, who has more fans than any of the other shows we have here on the Horse Radio Network. So, you know, we're within range. We could start now putting our target on the Western Radio Show and make Horses in the Morning the top fan-rated show on Facebook here on the Horse Radio Network. And, of course, you can listen to all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. They're all coming out for the week, yesterday or today, so you have a whole bunch of new shows to listen to. Jennifer had a fascinating conversation on the Stable Scoop Show with Helena about biomechanics and the science of motion in horses. If you're into deep horse talk, that'll be a good show for you to listen to. I know Chris had some terrific shows on hers, so you want to head on over to the Jumping Dressage or what's that other one? Eventing Radio Show.
Eventing, come on.
And, of course, the Western Show. They were talking about Western Saddle, so you can check that out as well. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. We announce all the shows when they're coming out on Twitter. It's your easiest way to find out at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, you can listen to a recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. I'd like to give a shout-out to Rebecca, who listens to the show once, and then she is working, so she has to leave and then come back. So she just listens to it on repeat. I think that is absolutely insane, and that is way too much of Glenn and I. But, you know, whatever you need to do.
Yeah,
so, Rebecca, listening. You don't ever have to miss an episode. You can listen online later. We'll be back Monday morning, and, you know, there's potential Glenn might not be here. So, woo-woo, girl's day. Yeah. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. I'll be thinking about you in sunny West Palm Beach, Florida.